Deputy Chair and Commissioners of CGE, and I declare this meeting officially open. I think everyone is has logged in because Nolisa has confirmed that she has let everyone in. I have three apologies. Honorable Sheriff, who's not feeling well. And I see also Nelisa sent me an apology. I spoke to Honorable Sheriff last night, and she was not feeling well. And she indicated that today she'll be seeing the doctor. And I see Honorable Mpiti also and Mam Sonti, they are not, they've sent their apologies. And I see a message from Nelisa saying there's a new member from the EFF, Ms. Sonyane, who will be joining us. I don't know, she's replacing which member. And Nelisa will tell us. And then Kashifa will join us around 10. So these are the few apologies that I've received. We can now start with our meeting. Thank you very much, honorable members, for your attendance. Here in Gauteng is raining. I'm not sure in your provinces whether it's raining or not, but here in Gauteng is raining. Let's go straight to the chairperson so that she can start without any waste of time. Over to you, chairperson.
Honorable chairperson, good morning to you, ma'am. I would like to greet the whip, the honorable members of the portfolio committee on women, youth, and persons with disabilities. Good morning to you, honorable members.
Good morning.
I send greetings from the Commission for Gender Equality. I would like to extend our appreciation for being invited to come and present before you our reports, especially the performance progress as well as financial management report of the previous quarter, which is the second quarter of the current financial year. This quarter actually stems from July 2020 to September 2020. Honorable Chair, this is in line with our multi-annual strategic plan, and we will be reporting in accordance to the four broad strategic objectives. And we know that our reporting period will also be talking about our budget allocation and expenditure thereof. And we will be reporting on our activities and the achievements of the strategic objectives and the achievements of our targets as set in our annual performance plan. Honorable members, we're doing this in alignment with the requisite of our CGE Act. And we know that the requirements of our commission or the commission is to actually submit reports to the president and to parliament. And this is a requirement for reporting and accountability. It is also in line with the King 3 as well as the King 4 principles on cooperative governance as well as the Public Financial Management Act, number 1 of 1996. Honorable Chair, without waste of time, I am delighted to introduce our new member and our new executive chief executive officer in introducing our CEO before this portfolio committee, Ms. Jamela Ellen Robinson, who effectively commenced her duties on the 2nd of November 2020, joining a big team and a contingent of commissioners as well as staff members who both were quite delighted to be joined by the CEO, including the provincial managers as well as provincial staff. All of us, Chair, were quite happy to meet and induct our new CEO, and we have spent the whole entire last week inducting our new CEO and making sure that she is comfortable in her new role. We are also looking forward to working with her in her new role as the accounting officer, and it is our belief that she will actually, or the organization will benefit from her expertise, her skills, and her past experience. And we know that with all of that combined, Chairperson, the Commission will actually benefit in terms of her efficient leadership towards realization of our constitutional mandate. A formal letter that will be sent to the Portfolio Committee will come, Chair, which will formally be introducing Ms. Jamela Robertson. Chairperson, both the CEO and the CFO will present the quarterly reports, and they will provide a substantive information on how the Commission has performed in the previous quarter or the period under review. And we know that in terms of the annual budgets and allocations, Chair, I would like to remind the Honourable Portfolio Committee members that the Commission was initially allocated a budget of 89.861 million. And like any other Chapter 9 institutions, as well as government departments, the Commission for Gender Equality has actually been subjected to a downward budget adjustment of 10.3 million. And the Commission is committed to deliver its planned activities despite these budget cuts or fiscal situation that we find ourselves. And we will continue to have internal discussions on the funding situation of the Commission and the impact it might actually have in respect to our service delivery work at national, at provincial, as well as local level. Chairperson, I would like to pause here, but before I do that, I would like to also submit an apology from Commissioner O'Hara Ngoma Diseko, who is still booked off sick, and she will not be able to join us this morning. Thank you very much, Chair, and over to you, Honourable Chair. I've just handed over to you, Honourable Chair. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. I thought you are inviting your new CEO to make a presentation. You are launching her, ne?
Yes, I'm launching her, Chairperson. And I hope and I plead with the committee members to be gentle on her first day. She might not be able to respond to all the questions and concerns, but I'm more than happy to actually say that she has been properly briefed, Chairperson, and I'm quite confident that she will actually be presenting a report to you. Chairperson, with your permission, let me hand over to our brand new CEO, Ms. Jamela Robinson, to actually present the quarterly report. Over to you, Ms. Robinson.
Thank you very much, Chairperson Matebula, and good morning, Honorable Chairperson of the Commissioners and colleagues. I appreciate the warm welcome that I have received from all quarters. Without much ado, I will try and share the screen and also check if the screen is visible on the other side.
I think even our IT guys must assist you.
Yes, no, they are here assisting. Thank you, Chairperson. As has been indicated, please bear with me. I just want to do maximizing the screen. It's maximized. Yeah, it's a bit slow. Okay. Thank you. Is the presentation visible on the other side, honorable members?
Yeah.
Thank you. As the Chairperson Matebula has indicated, we are specifically outlining our activities for the second quarter to the Portfolio Committee. And primary focus for the quarter was the implementation of concept notes and project plans drafted in quarter two. Therefore, the report will highlight achievements of targets against what was planned for this quarter. To start with, and I think this is the norm with these presentations, we need to highlight how we are contributing as the CGE to national and regional instruments at some level, including transformation instrument. I must emphasize that we're reporting on this because they are our transformation instruments, or they facilitate the way we do work such that we contribute to transformation in the country and in the region. So basically, we do respond to the State of the Nation address, the NDP, the medium-term strategic framework, through the programs that we implement as the CGE. And obviously, we have specific objectives from these various transformation instruments that we contribute to through our work, which is basically our mandate to facilitate equality at different levels of life, including socioeconomic development, development in terms of health and education. Particularly, we say transformation because particularly we are trying to improve the lives of people who have historically been disadvantaged. So in that sense, we contribute to these transformation instruments through our activities that facilitate compliance with international and regional agreements relating to gender equality, with the example of CEDAW and the Maputo Protocol highlighted there. But obviously, there are various other instruments, including the Beijing platform and also AU instruments that we have. But I suppose for the purpose of this presentation, it suffices to just highlight those instruments. So as indicated, the activities contribute to these objectives, from governance issues like contributing to a capable ethical state, transformation and job creation. And honorable members of the committee will note that we have listed the same objectives that come from different instruments as a matter of emphasis, one can say. In terms of activities linked to our plans, activities continuing, still linked to the transformation instruments. In terms of education, throughout the instruments, we conduct outreach, advocacy, and legal clinics, systemic investigations. For instance, the forced sterilization investigation is one of those. We conducted community radio programs. We also engaged our stakeholders both public and like-minded, so to speak, stakeholders through social media campaigns, especially now during the lockdown at its various levels. And as honorable members know, we had to innovate and learn to be friends with technology so that we, the work continues. We are not stopped by these, the circumstances that caught us off guard, so to speak, early this year. Again, the objective of social cohesion. We do legislative submissions, complaints handling, investigations, and also looking at the status of the country's response to gender-based violence, which is one of our main challenges currently that really needs gearing up in terms of efforts around curbing the scourge of gender-based violence in the country. Honorable members of the committee, I will now get into our strategic objectives, and I want to believe that we are all familiar with these four objectives at this stage that respond directly to our mandate as the CGE, as prescribed by the Constitution and also by the CGE Act. So as the chairperson of the CGE has indicated, these objectives guide what we do to stay relevant and responsive to our mandate. What we plan needs to emanate from those objectives. And here they are just broken down, including our vision and our mission. And as honorable members, again, me being the new kid on the block, I might feel compelled to read everything to you, but I do know that you've seen this a lot before today. So just to highlight that how we break down these objectives and still are adhering to the mandate and not straying away from our business of the day. Now, in terms of performance, that is the 79% of the planned targets have been reached. And again, unfortunately, the COVID-19 has gotten in the way somewhat. As much as we have adapted to technology, some of the things had fell through the cracks, so to speak. Hence, we haven't really achieved the 100%, because the aim is to go for 100% every quarter. Let me say, every day, whatever you have in your plan is to do everything 100%, but circumstances sometimes becomes beyond us. So during the quarter, Muslim marriages was heard before the Supreme Court of Appeal. I have something on my screen that says the internet is unstable. In case I disappear, please bear with me. IT, come, please don't leave. Sorry, honorable members. Sit here, please. Don't go. I'm getting warnings on the screen. Not the admission, it was saying the internet is unstable. So just sit here, don't move. Honorable members. So the recognition of Muslim marriages was heard before the Supreme Court of Appeal. The matter was adjourned after all parties had argued and the state replied, so judgment was reserved. Also, various stakeholders engagement took place during Women's Month, where the focus was on leadership. We also did work, we continued doing work on the Caster Semenya case, and I understand collaborating with our sister institutions like the Human Rights Commission. We also continue to adhere to protocols and regulations as per the disaster management as dictated by the COVID-19, as one had already indicated. Here, honorable members, just to project a summary of the targets reached during this quarter. So if we look at the first objectives, as had been displayed earlier, we had planned to achieve 7 targets, we only achieved 6. For the second objective, we managed to achieve what we had planned. For the third objective, we only managed to achieve, we actually achieved everything. It's the fourth objective where we only managed to achieve 50%. And if you look at the nature of the objectives, it become clearer why some activities were more affected by having to work virtually as opposed to working physically. So these are basically the achievements per objective for the second quarter. Compared to quarter one, it looks like there was improvement, and it makes sense for me, especially who is looking at this report for the first time, that the first quarter, this is where we're still caught off guard, if you want, in terms of the lockdown. But by the second quarter, we were pretty much used to the situation and have also worked out strategies how to cope with the pandemic and its ensuing lockdown. Now I will quickly go through the progress and performance per strategic objective. Looking first at the first strategic objective, our output indicator there is submission on new and proposed legislation. And our second quarter target was the submission, 4 submissions. And we have overperformed there because we have made 5 submissions in relation to this particular target. The second indicator, a consolidated report on the on submission made and outcomes of engagements with Parliament and other stakeholders on new and proposed legislation. Honourable members, please bear with me because I will read this for now as I am locating myself within this information. So sometimes one will have to look at all the text. For the quarter, we had planned to submit on engagement. My colleague, the CFO, is joining with her computer talking, so he distracted me a bit. I'll let you settle, please, so I can focus. So, honorable members, thank you for your understanding. A report on the engagement with Parliament on a quarterly basis on submissions was made, identifying areas for policy change that advances gender equality. And it looks like we met that target, as we're saying, a report was submitted on domestic legislation. We engaged with the Gauteng legislature. Of course, I was there. I facilitated this from the Gauteng legislature side. So we have achieved that target. The next indicator, a report again on investigations, findings and recommendations regarding compliance and the implementation of National Gender Transformation Work framework. We have achieved the target there for quarter two, as we have obtained information from entities identified per the project plan. On the following indicator, a consolidated report on the implementation of findings and recommendations on the previous year gender transformation. Again, for quarter two, information was obtained from identified as the project plan. So this particular target was met. Stakeholder engagement on the findings and recommendations of the CEDAW report. Apparently, the stakeholder engagement did not take place. The project was delayed. Again, it's one of those where we couldn't mitigate, around the issues, the restrictions of lockdown. And my commissioners and colleagues and chairperson may be able to elaborate on that. The next indicator in this regard, for quarter two, there was no activity. The stakeholder engagement, which was scheduled in quarter one, was held in quarter two. And again, that will be perhaps clarified during question time. In relation to stakeholder engagement on the findings and recommendations of the Maputo Protocol report, there was no activity in quarter two. The stakeholder engagement, which was scheduled in quarter one, was held in quarter two. The next indicator, again, it appears there were no activities planned for quarter two. Now we are moving to the second objective, honorable members. In this case, our target for quarter two was the implementation of project plan and report on content development drafted. And this, of course, is for education and information material. And the actual performance is the gender mainstreaming booklet has been finalized after receiving inputs from provinces. Human trafficking information sheet has been developed as per the project plan. In terms of the target to conduct 9 gender mainstreaming interventions, the interventions were conducted as planned. Our output indicators regarding the community radio slots, as per our target of 18 community radio slots, this looks like the actual performance was almost doubled, which is a good thing. In terms of social media, we had a target of social media campaign 2 per year. And this was achieved as social media campaign on GBV and CGE as essential service. And I understand, yes, we remained open because we were identified as an essential service, especially around issues of domestic violence, as we have learned during COVID lockdown that these skyrocketed when lockdown started. So obviously, the CGE would have to remain open to be able to provide services. In terms of outreach and advocacy and legal clinics, we also had a target of 18 initiatives in this regard, and again, pretty much doubled, actually doubled and more. In terms of actual performance in this regard. And honorable members, perhaps suffice to indicate that this was one of the best lessons around COVID, that we could do more through taking advantage of existing technologies, which before COVID, unfortunately, it's a painful situation, but before lockdown, we didn't even really, many of us think that this would be possible. But then in this particular instance, we realized that actually the existing technologies that we have can work at our advantage. With regards to strategic engagement with like-minded organizations to promote gender equality, We had a target of 9 initiatives in this regard, and we have achieved the target as planned. In terms of complaints opened timely, attended to in terms of the complaints manual, from registration to assessment of the complaints, we estimated that we would do, we will address 80% of this, of the number that we receive in this in a quarter. So the 80% was achieved as 146 of the complaints were received, and 80% of these were opened during quarter two, have been attended to in terms of the complaints manual. In terms of monitoring reports on the implementation of findings and recommendations of systemic investigations conducted in the financial year 2019-20, our aim in quarter two was to continue implementing the project plan, and the actual performance is that an engagement with the Minister of Health, SANC and HPCA regarding the maternal health investigations to implement the recommendations of the report was held as per the project plan. Now coming to the third objective, honorable members, our first output indicator there was to an update status report on the country's response to addressing and combating gender-based violence, taking into account new commitment made. As we know now, government has really taken further strides to try and combat gender-based violence. Various initiatives have been put in place since the summit of 2018. So we obviously are part of that, and we need to be looking at how we perform to contribute to that overall performance of the country. So our target in quarter two was the implementation of the project plan and tools for data collection. The research department continued with field work, and this is the actual performance. And interviews were conducted with various informants from a number of government departments, civil society organizations, donor and development agencies. So this target was achieved as planned, honorable members. The next indicator here is an update status report on the country's response to addressing and combating GBV, taking into account new commitments again. And there was no activity for quarter two. However, actual performance is stated that a draft report has been compiled in this regard. The next output, a report on the implementation of the gender responsive budgeting framework. In quarter two, we planned the implementation of the project plan and the tools for data collection. Accordingly, in terms of actual performance, fieldwork activities, I feel like a parrot right now. I'm not sure if these slide is repeated. I don't know how I missed it. Bear with me, honorable members. As I go to the next slide, where the output is for the quarter is the implementation of the project plans again and tools for data collection. And here, in terms of actual performance, the Fatherhood Rise of Access project was initiated. During quarter two, field work activities for the project were continued. Interviews were conducted with key role players and information and informants in the Eastern Cape, the Western Cape, Gauteng, Mpumalanga. Among informants were the following magistrates, social workers, family advocates, and legal officers. So accordingly, this objective, this particular target was achieved. Going now to objective four. Our output indicator being a policy to regulate the interface between commissioners and staff. In quarter two, we said we're going to have policy documents drafted, and this is indicated as not achieved. The commissioners are still in the process of finalizing the handbook. The chairperson Matebula will probably talk to this, but I was requested to forward the handbook yesterday, and somehow, somewhere, it was too big to send. But I will let the chairperson address that appropriately. I just thought I must highlight it because we know that we were requested to submit the draft. The second output in this regard, it's a consolidated report on the implementation of the 5-year HR strategy. And the target for the quarter was a consolidated report on the implementation of the 5-year HR strategy. And a report on the strategy has been drafted. Coming to the M&E plan as a target as part of building the CGE, basically, because this particular objective is about building capacity internally, not only functional capacity, let me put it that way, because we're talking here about quality assurance instruments like the M&E plan. So in quarter two, we had planned to have matrices drafted for monitoring of identified focus areas and the implementation of the tracking tools. We report that we have not achieved this, but noting that a draft M&E plan exists within the CGE, I have it in my possession at this stage, and we are planning to consult with the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation to try and help us finalize this, because we want to do this properly, align our monitoring and evaluation plan to our mandate, and further down to our strategy as an institution, and even further down to our annual performance plan. So we don't want to miss anything here, because if we get this wrong, we will be derailed in terms of how we implement our programs. The two strategic partnerships agreements, the target for the quarter was lobby and negotiate partnership agreements. Partners in quarter two include the FBP seminar on cyber crimes, which were conducted. And suffice to perhaps add here that as we report today, we have proposals from other stakeholders that are proposing partnerships with us as the CGE. And obviously, these are initiatives that we welcome, and we will work on having a memoranda of understanding with these strategic partners. The next output indicator for our last objective is a consolidated report on coverage through traditional and digital media. And for the quarter, we planned a consolidated report on coverage through traditional and digital media. And we're saying a consolidated report was drafted. Therefore, this target was reached as planned. For the approved ITC and knowledge management plan, in quarter two, we planned a gap analysis and feasibility and approved project plan. The actual performance is knowledge management consultant has been appointed. Engagements on knowledge management have started. the various further elaborate that the knowledge management consultant is currently in the process of finalizing the project plan, the appointment of the service provider, I suppose, will be done perhaps in the next quarter, in the third quarter, yes. By way of concluding, honorable members, my commissioners, chairperson of the CGE, just to say that the above gives an indication of work undertaken against targets set at the beginning of the financial year for the second quarter. And management is comfortable at this stage that the commission will be able to achieve targets in the APP, I will add, in the third and fourth quarter. Management also continue to ensure that regulations and protocols are followed to comply with the Disaster Management Act that we have in place currently. Thank you very much, honorable members.
Who's next, Chairperson?
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, Ms. Jamela Robertson. The next presentation will be done by the CFO, Mr. Moshabi Putu. Over to you, Mr. Putu.
Good morning, Chair.
Morning. How are you?
I'm fine, and how are you, Chair?
I'm good.
I'm speaking with our CEO in the boardroom in Johannesburg. Okay, thank you. I'm just saying I'm connected to my computer, however, it's hanging again. I mean, similar to what occurred in the last meeting. Murphy's Law.
So we've
got IT assisting on my computer. And Chairperson and honorable members, good morning. He indicates that I am properly connected. I'm going to be moving to my computer in a moment.
Okay. Unmute yourself, CEO, CFO. CFO? CFO, what is the problem?
Chair,
what is the problem?
We have now resorted to using the terminal from the CEO.
Oh.
If you may allow me to continue, are we properly connected now?
Yeah, I see.
Okay.
You're using Ms. Jamela's gadget.
Yes, I'm using her, Chair. Okay, thank you very much. May I greet the Honorable Chairperson, members of the committee, also greet the commissioners for Commission for Gender Equality, the CEO and colleagues in Parliament. Chair, this presentation is basically a report to support the earlier presentation, which was on substantive work of the CGE, a report that was rendered by our CEO. The presentation is also intended to account for the financial resources that have been allocated, appropriated through the processes in Parliament. It's also in line with the principles of accountability as outlined in the Constitution of the Republic, as well as in the PFMA, Public Finance Management Act. So we are indeed reporting to the committee to indicate as to how monies appropriated have been utilized. Okay. Chairperson, under the slide on contents, we are basically indicating the areas that they will be covering, mainly being a review of the annual budget allocation, just to share the information, and some analysis as per invitation from Parliament, the Portfolio Committee. There was basically a need to provide the information regarding income and expenditure. So we'll be sharing information around that. We'll also be sharing information on the state of financial health at the CGE as at the end of the second quarter, and other matters that relates to compliance with the laws and regulations as are outlined in PFMA. We will give a briefing on that, Chair. Chairperson, on slide number 5 of the presentation is basically a recap of the annual budget allocations. The committee have been given this report earlier on. The committee is well aware, but basically just to reconfirm, the allocation for the current year it's 80,795,601. It was originally 90 million. The figure indicated there is 89,861, close to 90 million, which is what was originally allocated. But for the adjustment budget that was effected in June, July, our baseline has been reduced now to 80 million. So this information has been shared before. Similarly, the next slide, demonstrating how the resulting budget, adjusted budget, were allocated per program. We're sharing that information for the record for completeness of reporting. Chair, what could be a slide that specifically respond to the invitation to do with the income and expenditure? Under slide number 9, we are highlighting key salient points to do with the income and expenditure. Taking the committee through this particular slide, we can see that for the year up to the end of September, 6 months period, revenue income that was available for use by the CGE amounted to 40,980, close to 41 million. And then for quarter two in isolation, income that have been available, received by the CGE amounted to 20 million, 20096879. Those are basically the comparative figure. The first 41 million is for the 6 months period cumulative amount, and then the second column indicates the activities relating to the second quarter being July to end of September. So Chair, what we can see is that the bulk of the money comes from transfers from National Treasury. In the second quarter, we have 19.9 million received from National Treasury. And for the year, for the financial year to the end of September, we have received 39.8 million from National Treasury. Additionally, we have income interest and other sundry income. We're indicating in the second line for the current quarter, the current reporting quarter being quarter two, interest and other income amounted to 206,000. And for the 6 months period, we have 1.2 million. But the biggest contributor there is interest income that has been received from the bank. Chair, on the expenditure for the 6 months period, we have recorded 35 million, 35,420,127, and comparative figures for the second quarter in isolation are 18.4 million. So Chair, overall, because of what as well the CEO has indicated, there have been delays in delivering on the APP, mainly due to hard lockdown. And then there are already indications during quarter two that we are catching up on achieving the targets. But so it goes, even spending increases in a corresponding way. So despite the fact that for the year to date, we are indicating that we didn't spend all the money that has been received, we are underspent the money. We are reporting basically, we have done a calculated determination in management as well as together with consideration with oversight commissioners that this money will definitely be spent, and there are pressing gender equality. We will be closing, catching up on those activities. So this reported surplus is only a temporary surplus. It will be utilized. The full 80 million rand that have been allocated from National Treasury will be used to ensure that we respond, we deliver the mandate and respond to every other pressing issue that has been noted substantively from the presentation by the CEO. And further slides relating to this, Chair, slide number 10, is basically to share further information in analysis to indicate, if we look it onto slide number 10, the graph on the left, takeaway point is to the effect that we have spent 56% of the 35 million rand that have been spent for the first 6 months. We have spent the 56% thereof on core service delivery. We have spent it on activities that are conducted in provincial offices for 11.3 million for the 6 months period. And we have also spent 8.5 million on activities that are also core. And those activities were conducted at the head office. As you can see, the columns that are marked in gray basically indicate the amounts relating to such classification. And then we are also noting that for corporate services, we have spent close to 10.67 million, which is a lesser percentage. And the further other component that has been spent is just under 5 million for the commissioner's program. And then on the right, we are also indicating how the spending is distributed. In general, the CG spending is uniform across quarters, has been uniform across quarters. However, as we have indicated, in the remaining 6 months of the financial year, there will be a heightened spending. However, the pattern itself is a relatively a flat pattern, a steady pattern over the years, but we'll catch up, and then quarter three and quarter four will report higher values. From the earlier information share, we have seen that we have been allocated 80 million, and then from the 80 million, we have spent 35 million. So for the remaining 6 months, we have 45 million rand available. We are reporting to the committee to the effect that there are needs, there is capacity to spend the remaining 45 million. The spending will be done by and large to substantively deliver on the CGE mandate. The strategic objectives that we have there, we'll spend the remaining 45 million on it during the coming 6 months. And Chair, on slide 11, we basically sharing further information, same spending information we are presenting it in a by program. And we are drawing comparatives between the actual, the budget, year-to-date budget. We are also sharing information around the spending patterns in the preceding financial year for the same period, 6 months period from April to end of September, where we are saying prior year, that information relates to the previous financial year, the first 6 months of the previous financial year. And similarly, we're doing for goods and services, the first block is compensation of employees, the next block is goods and services, and the latter block, the latest block, is basically the aggregate figures combining compensation of employees and goods and services. Chair, we have also noted the key points for consideration. First, on compensation of employees, is the fact that compensation of employees is a key driver of expenditure. However, given the fact that we have had vacancies that were not filled earlier on because of transitional arrangements, the appointment of the CEO, the interventions and interruptions by lockdown and the like. So that has resulted in some saving on compensation of employees. Further to that, Chair, we have not as yet effected any salary increases. So that is what contributes to underspending in that particular category. And on goods and services overall, we're noting a 3 million rand underspending, and that is explained by the fact that during lockdown there are activities that were not executed, and those activities will be executed in the latter period. After, I mean, we are now operating in a situation where the restrictions have been lifted, and we are gearing ourselves basically to heighten performance. So it will be spent. And as well, slightly the fact that another 20% share requires, it's on what the CG Act made provision as obligations to spend on. Spending on ensuring that the commission is constituted by members of the commission, the spending on the commissioner program. Spending on the provisions of Section 11 of the CG Act, being the key functions of the CG, the investigation, the promotion, the protection of gender rights and the like,
That is where the money is being spent. 70% of it gets to be spent there. And then only about 30% can be attributed to corporate services or administration. But as well, without oversimplifying this presentation, is to also say that even corporate services do make a contribution, sometimes even direct contribution to service delivery, core service delivery deliverables. But as well, I think our administration is geared towards leveraging the delivery of the main objective being core service delivery. Chair, slide number 12, we're sharing details. Chair, I think we can take questions on that. Is basically a further drill down analysis of the expenditure. And Chair, slide number 13 as well, we basically summarizing pictorially the earlier presentation. We're indicating basically key contributors to underspending. My earlier renditions spoke to that. And then on the right-hand side, you are also indicating the main areas where the underspending came from. We have them as follows, Chair. Compensation of employees, advertising and publication. I can speak to that. Compensation of employees has contributed an underspending of 2.5 million. Advertising and publication. This account has got to do with our main service delivery component being the raising of awareness. So it's the account is called advertising and publication because it's where we are using other electronic channels such as radio, TV stations and the like to deliver on that awareness raising, education and information component of our mandate. So it's a tactic that has been adopted by the CGE to say, given the effects of COVID, we will need to exploit other avenues, other service delivery channels, and this is one of them. There have been a spending lag, however, there are commitments already. So this 457,000 that has been underspent for the first 6 months is in the project plan. It will be spent. And the next contributing account is on office and other office cleaning and other maintenance. There are savings efficiencies that have been realized because our offices have been closed during lockdown. So other running expenses, office overheads linked to this particular classification, we didn't spend a lot. And additionally, in this account we have set aside monies to enable the CGE to respond to pressing needs on issues such as PPE, office deep cleansing, and the like. So the upside of this underspending, Chair, is the fact that in as much as we have set the resources aside to ensure that we are able to respond, for e.g., when there are emergency instances of cross infection and the like, we had cushion to say that there have got to be monies available so that we can go back and then do deep cleaning, make provision of the necessary medical and protective equipment. However, the experience has been that we didn't have too many of negative incidences relating to COVID issues. It's also contributing training and development similarly. This are basically due to at the bottom, Chair, we are indicating this money will be spent on this other project expenditure that will be utilizing the reported surplus. Chair, leaving the income and expenditure reporting on assets and liabilities, and effectively the CGE's financial position. Key salient points to be reported is the fact that the CGE as an institution, on slide 14, Chair, the CGE as an institution, we are at this point in time, as we report, for as at the end of September 2020, we are sound financially. We are a going concern. We have more assets than we have liabilities, and our asset base as well has got liquid assets. We've got cash available. We are able to pay salaries when they fall due, and so it goes with paying other creditors. So we don't have any financial challenges, except the background is that we are having a budgetary pressure, but from our own financial management practices, we are containing the situation, so we are not exposed, we are not bankrupt, so to speak. We are solvent, we are liquid. So at this point in time, we are happy, we are going concerned. And Chairperson, the next slide number 15, we are outlining, breaking down the components of assets and liabilities, indicating on the left-hand side, we are indicating our cash resources, 15 million as at the end of September. And then we're also indicating what comprises our current assets, receivables. The biggest receivable that we have, the 9.9 million, relates to the monies that we're still expecting from National Treasury, from the Department for Women, because the transfers are channeled via the Department for Women, Youth, and Persons with Disability. And other assets are basically fixed assets relating to computers and fleet management, if you look at the bottom, Chair, of the block. And then this non-current assets, PPE, amounts to 8.4 million. And comparing to the previous year's figures, as at the end of September 2019, we had 6.9 million. The reason for the movement is the fact that we have refreshed our motor vehicle fleet. We have purchased new vehicles replacing the old ones, so our service delivery potential has been enhanced by that particular investment, Chair. And then on the right-hand side, we are indicating our liabilities, and our liabilities are mainly current liabilities, and mainly relating to payables relating to payroll. We've got leave provision, 3.6 million, we're indicating there. And we would need to give confidence to the committee to the effect that despite the fact that we have made this leave provision, there is a concerted effort to ensure that we comply with our leave policy. The CEO is nodding. I think it's an area that is always a challenging area that needs to be actively managed. And I know for a fact that even from the commissioners, from the HR committee, these are areas that they concern themselves with as to whether there are leave plans, whether we comply with basic conditions of employment, that people are taking leave when leave is due to be taken, and even issues of whether leave payouts are done in accordance with our own internal policies. And then the next material one would be provision for salary bonus. This is part of the conditions of employment for employees. We pay 13th check to qualifying employees. Employees who qualify are employees from up to level. Chair, can I continue?
Yeah, continue. Sorry.
Okay, thank you. I was reporting to the committee as well to say that with regards to the liability on salary bonus, the qualifying employees are employees up to level 10. Level 11 upwards, the institution does not make provision for savings check. Those who require savings check will have to restructure from total cost to company package. So we do have a savings check payout. At the CG, the payout occurs in December, not on people's birthday, as we can compare with the
Chairperson. Sorry. Apologies.
Can we protect the meeting?
Thank you, Chair Nwit. And the other component which is critical under current liabilities is on trade and other payables. These are our trade creditors, everyday service providers. As at the end of September, we had invoices which we haven't paid for a total amount of 1.3 million. And what can also be noted is the finance lease liability. Chair, we do have lease assets, and our lease assets are basically our telephony systems, the PABX, and the telephone networks that we have, which are connected to our main server. They've been procured on a lease arrangement. However, that procurement is also a procurement that has been transversely entered into by National Treasury. It's RT15 lease. So in terms of our financial reporting applicable to the CGE, the GRAP, generally recognized accounting practices, this lease liability needed to be classified as a finance lease. Hence, we have the figures in this in the books. As we are reporting, we have 374,477 lease liability in relation thereto. So Chair, in general, those are the details pertaining to our assets and liabilities. Regarding their management, we do have systems of internal controls and management on assets. We have asset registers which are compliant with GRAP 17, our reporting standards, which are also compliant with the requirements of National Treasury regulations. The exercise of stewardship and custodianship is also implemented in terms of what the PFMA requires. The PFMA, I think, under Section 45 requires of any official to take care of state property. We do that, and then we've got supporting policies and procedures in that regard. And Chair, talking about policies and procedures, the invitation also required of the institution to brief the policy on financial management systems. And financial management systems, Chair, are drawn from the prescripts. In the main, the practices are informed by the provisions of the PFMA and provisions in the National Treasury regulations and further other prescripts available. So Chair, the first area that they would want to brief the committee on is on slide 17, supply chain management. Supply chain management in terms of the framework is driven from these areas: demand management, contract management. Contract management is also called the performance management, acquisition management, and assets management and disposal. So Chair, from the demand management side, we have complied. We have a procurement plan, which in terms of the prescripts needs to be given or submitted to National Treasury at commencement of a financial year. That has been done. We have complied with that. We are procuring to fulfill the demands which were indicated in there. But additionally, we do procure for the needs that emanate from time to time to support the CGE business. So we, the CEO has reported around some of the major interventions. Key amongst them was knowledge management strategy. KM in the slide stands for, it's an acronym for knowledge management. Knowledge management strategy. The procurement has been done. We also note, and then we have also assured the committee that reliance by the CGE on third-party service providers will be done with necessary discipline. Knowledge management at the time of reporting for the previous quarter was mentioned as well in our report. And Chairperson, the substance of the work that is being done by the appointed consultants is basically to come up with an informed knowledge management strategy document. The project is not a huge ICT, IT investment project at all. It's all about getting knowledge management strategy that is informed by best practice out there. And that was the idea, basically, to say that we can leverage performance on this through the use of outside service providers. So it's not a big capital expenditure at all. So it's a very short-term procurement. I just don't have the amounts are little, Chair. They are to an extent of 300,000. I just didn't indicate the amount here. So it's all about it is not. I'm just saying that I was indicating to say that it's not a huge capital intensive project. That's the context. The money relative to the money is really worth a lot. So I was not, that's the context, Chair. And Chair, it's all about getting the strategy and the necessary technical advice so that if there will be a need to engage in a huge capital expenditure, that should be based on what is feasible and suitable for the CGE fit for purpose strategy. So that's the idea, that's the rationale behind it. However, Chair, the message that the committee has been sending out, including the emphasized message in the previous meeting, have been well received, have been noted. We will act on counsel from the committee. We appreciate even the constraints that not only the CGE but the country is facing. So we need to use the resources available in an effective, efficient way. We have noted that for effective implementation. And further other notable procurement were on audio conferencing is basically to additional equipment that have been procured to ensure that our offices are interconnected when it comes, because we've got the base infrastructure, IT infrastructure. We just needed to have add-on equipment that will enable and even enable the CGE to save money. Instead of traveling, we can now have meetings remotely using technology. And this has also been procured through RT15 at favorable terms that have been negotiated by National Treasury. The service provider here is Vodacom. And office security have been one of the bigger acquisitions that have been done during the period, Chair. Contract management performance of contracts. Chairperson, the contract administration is done in terms of the National Treasury framework. And additionally, when it comes to the issue highlighted in red in the slide, where there was an exception to on contract administration. One contract had an exception, Chair, and in terms of the prescripts, any matter that would result in a financial misconduct needs to be reported to the portfolio committee. We are putting this forward as it's an incident that has been recently discovered. It's on one contract. Effectively, a contract that they were supposed to have been cancelled on time was not cancelled on time. And then as a result, the service provider is suing for the payment from the CGE. Preliminary investigations are that this money should be recoverable from the responsible officials. The amount relating the amount on the summonses are 125,000 rand, and we will follow through on our own internal disciplinary processes, and then when there's a finding, which is likely to be a finding not preempting the investigations of financial misconduct, in terms of the prescript, the portfolio committee must receive a report there too. So we have in this incident still being processed. The amounts involved are 125. We will ensure that proper processes are undertaken. Disciplinary processes are undertaken, corrective action and consequence management is undertaken in a manner that does not offend the principles and policies, and ensure that we are going to account to the committee, and also avoid incurrence of any irregular expenditure or wasteful expenditure. If this amount is due and payable by responsible officials, it will indeed, there will indeed be consequences, which include the recoveries, Chair. Apart from this incident, Chair, we have a system, there's a framework, we follow the framework from National Treasury. We are avoiding any incurrence, unnecessary incurrence of irregular expenditure or fruitless expenditure. We've got nothing whatsoever to report to say it's a defect in performance or an irregularity whatsoever. And we have reported earlier on, Chair, on the vehicles that have been purchased, they have all been branded. So effectively, our provincial offices are capacitated. They've got resources to execute the mandate when they're needed on the ground. We have refreshed our fleet. Slide number 18, Chair, is all about our fleet management. Having mentioned the vehicles, fleet management is properly run, no material issues. We have insurance on the vehicles. Facilities management, key to note is the fact that we are keeping our facilities not to be centers of COVID transmission, so we are keeping to the protocols and hygiene. No material issues to be reported, Chair. And on slide 19, it's an assurance, a slight assurance to the effect that we do have corporate governance systems in place which are compliant to the requirements of the PFMA. We are citing relevant provisions of the PFMA and other prescripts where it's important. We do have, we've got an accounting officer position always actively occupied, and then all these other rules that are outlined in section 38 of the PFMA, systems of internal controls, they are there, they have been overseen by the accounting officer, executed by management. Risk management, we have an active risk management practice within and the requirement to say that managing the revenue expenditure and assets has got to be sound. We are doing our best to comply with that particular requirement, including as well regular reporting. We are now reporting to the portfolio committee. We do report periodically to National Treasury with this information as the prescript requires. And then we are also reporting annually in terms of Section 40 of the PFMA. And oversight occurs. Commissioners are exercising oversight. There are structures which are effectively standing and working. We've got an active audit committee. Our current audit committee's term of office will be coming to an end at the end of December this year. Recruitment and filling of the positions of audit committee members have been processed. We will be having an audit committee once there will be a departure of the present one. And Chairperson would probably elaborate further. There will also be a handover and proper induction between the outgoing committee and the incoming committee to ensure that there's a seamless continuity and the work of oversight is not compromised. So we have systems in place, risk management pointers. I think they've been mentioned in my presentation and the presentation by the CEO. We have embraced risk management as a practice for management and as a practice for oversight. So we do that. Slide 21, Chairperson, it's resubmitted. It's the same slide. It's basically information on what has been procured in relation to COVID-19 PPE and related services. This is what they've been procured. It has been competitively procured. So far, we are satisfied that there are no irregularities that have been incurred or done or practiced by our officials. Everything is above board. And the last component on what we are required to report on, Chair, was on audit and update. The immediate update is that the audit, regularity audit by the Auditor General of South Africa was concluded at the end of September. We have received an audit report. It's still a report confidential between the Commission for Gender Equality and the auditors. The auditors are the ones who are going to make it public at the time when they are tabling it in Parliament. That is in accordance with the provisions of the PFMA. All that we are doing is to report that the processes, the audit processes, auditing the previous financial year being the 2019-2020 financial year have been concluded on time. That culminated with an audit report and a management report. In the management report, we have specific issues, many specific issues of weakness and recommendation from the AG. And then that information from the management report is information that will be, we have already started, Chair, to implement correct improvement measures. We have compiled the action plans and assigned the responsibilities to remedy whatever have been identified as areas of improvement. So we are working on that. It will be a reportable item, ongoing reportable item to the committee on how we are doing basically to implement the AGSA's action plans. The ones which were reportable in the previous cycle, Chair, those audit action plans have been satisfactorily implemented. The plan that was presented to the portfolio committee earlier with specific action plans. We have taken action. We are seeing improvements. We will share basically which of the witnesses permeated into this financial year. And that information will be shared immediately after the AG has tabled the report to the portfolio committee. The next actions that we also know is that the end of November we would need to table to Parliament also in line with Section 40 of the PFMA, the annual report. So we are hard at work to ensure that an annual report which contains annual financial statements will be ready for submission by submission date. And one other key aspect relating to the previous financial year was with regards to the reported accumulated surplus that in terms of the prescripts, it needs to be surrendered unless the application is granted to retain the money. So we have made a motivation to National Treasury for them to allow us to retain this money and then begin to utilize it on specific projects that aspirational projects, which are not only aspirational for the sake of it, but they're aspirational to ensure that the CGE mandate is effectively met and delivered. So we have listed them. They are part of the motivation. We are just crossing the fingers in hope that despite the fact that the fiscals have got pressures, they will also appreciate as well that gender equality issues, issues of GBV and femicide are also as urgent and critical. Chairperson, that concludes my presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, CEO, CFO. And also we thank and welcome the new CEO. And I haven't seen the deputy chair. I just saw the chairperson. I don't know whether the deputy chair is in or not in.
I'm here, Chairperson. I was here since the beginning. Good morning to the members. I'm here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you very much. Can honorable members open their videos? Because I don't see you. Chair and Deputy Chair, let me start with the request that you made in terms of the extension date on your submission. I think one thing that must come up here to your institution is that all entities and government departments must finalize their report according to National Treasury regulations. And I think there are clear timelines that are there, which all departments and entities, as and when you do your work, you need to make sure that you timeously adhere to those dates that are stipulated there in National Treasury regulations. And we have agreed to give you 7 days because it is your responsibility as commissioners to see to it that when you plan, your year planner must be in line with what is the interest with treasury regulations. So you can't have a plan that is working against the timelines that are stipulated in and by National Treasury. you are expected to submit reports according to the time frames that are written there. With CDE commissioners, there are two different types of commissioners. We have full-time commissioners and we have part-time commissioners. Full-time commissioners are paid according to what is expected, and they are paid according to what they have signed for. If you are a full-time commissioner, you are expected to be working hours according to what is required in terms of your working hours. Full-time commissioners who are working outside CGE, they need to apply for permission. And that permission, that application must be approved. And also presidency must be informed. And what seems not to be coming right with CGE, we have one commissioner who have declared that she's doing work outside the CGE, which was given approval. We have observed several times that there are other commissioners who are working. You are doing work full-time. You are appointed full-time as a full-time commissioner with CGE. But also, we are seeing you doing other jobs outside. It's not a secret. It's an open secret. I hear you, CFO, that you were saying the audit report is still with the AG's office. And, fortunately, there are times when we as chairpersons were being invited by the AG's office, and we are given some of the reports. And we also invite AG's office to come and make presentations to the portfolio committee. It's going to be an embarrassment when the AG is doing audits and they discover that some of your commissioners are doing work outside CGE and you have not declared and get approval. I want, on behalf of the committee, we want to get a report from CGE. Because already what we've done, we have also, Nelisa, I hope you have sent the letter to the chairperson and the deputy chair in relation to the issues we've been advised by our legal team. And you must tell us. Not today. Chair, we're going to write to you formally in relation to other issues that we have discussed. Meaning some of your commissioners, you are robbing the state. No. You are robbing the state. You are stealing. You can't be claiming that you are working full-time, but you are doing other work outside and you have not declared. Any report that is going to come after the report that you have presented to us, Tina will go and present that thing as a part of misconduct. people who are stealing from government. There is no way that as this portfolio committee, we are going to leave this matter. You are going to be accountable for your own acts. You are responsible adults. We have spoken about this thing several times. That your commissioners have not declared. Your commissioners have not declared. And if we are raising these things, you must know that we have information. Up until today, we have never tabled anything. But anyway, it's no longer going to assist us. Because the only thing report that you have submitted was a report of the deputy chair who's doing some work at the University of Stellenbosch. So with that one, we've discussed about it and we are going to take action. We are not going to leave it. We have also, that's why I'm asking Neliso about the letter. We have also written to our legal team regarding things that you come and present to the portfolio committee which are untruth. And we are going to send a letter to the chair and the deputy chair because we need a formal response to yourself so that we can then conclude our report and send it to presidents. Table to parliament and send it to presidents. We want to welcome the appointment of the CEO. CEO, you are welcome. CEO, we are not going to be treating you like an amateur because you are not the person that is coming from the streets. You've been working with one of the legislatures. And you understand exactly how government does things. And we'll be expecting you to be accountable to the portfolio committee.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Late submissions of reports, it's not going to be tolerated. Your report, it's a poor quality report that you have submitted. Your report lacks detail. If you look at your report, there were issues that you presented in the first quarter, which you have not concluded. And in second quarter, we have been reported on what is it that you have done. You see, sometimes when officials and are writing reports, you think members of parliament don't read. We read. We're not lazy to do our job. We read. You can see even cut and paste. We can even tell you page by page what is cut and paste. We read. We go through even your annual report. We can tell you now that in your strategic objective number one, you are saying you have planned 7 targets, but in your APP, there's only 5. So what are you talking about? You know, this thing of writing things, and you it's like nimesfensin. It's because you want to make politicians to be uncertain, to be like, we don't know what we are looking for. We read your reports. We know how much you perform each quarter. Honorable members are going to ask you questions. You are writing that you have dealt, in first quarter you reported that you have dealt with 118 cases, if I'm not mistaken. 118 or 147, and you write in percentages. What does percentage translate to numbers? You know, when a person wants to trick you, will write a percentage. So that when you look at the percentage, you see a big percentage. But in terms of translation to numbers, what is it? You don't know. Why are you not consistent when writing reports? You presented reports. I want to make an example of your strategic objective for M&E. Your core business is to monitor. It's to do monitoring. How do you monitor departments, government departments and other entities? And when yourself, you don't have a monitoring tool. You are using what? Why would you, last time, you know, you reported that you wanted to appoint a consultant and you said, no, we're not going to support you. The same way we told Department of Women that when receiving those applications for the board, that a board of trustees that the advert that they sent out, they've appointed a service provider. We said, no, we're not supporting you on that one. We want you as the department to deal with those things for the shortlisting and for the appointment, auditing and screening of all those applications. We want your human resource department to deal with it. We're not mistaken. Same to yourself. Now we are saying you're working with Department of Monitoring and Evaluation in finalizing your monitoring and evaluation framework. You started when? And when are you finalizing it? How are you going to monitor issues of gender-based violence? When you say you wanted to interview some members of the interim steering committee and they are refusing to give you information because that steering committee has been disbanded. Of course, yes, it's disbanded. And so what? What next? The chair and the Commissioner Mokgale, it's written somewhere in your report that you are dealing with PPEs. You are dealing with PPEs in provinces where you are deployed. What about the other 8 provinces? The other provinces that you are not deployed to? Aren't you supposed to be doing a comprehensive monitoring and assessment on issues of PPEs? So how are you going to report? So reporting on PPEs on where you are deployed, what does that mean? Does that translate to you having done your responsibilities as commissioners? When you started with us, you were able to report to the portfolio committee on issues of tracking. Like, for instance, with the rape kits, you were able to report to us. What's happening now? Where is that report? When you are there every day, we are doing what? So all police stations now have got rape kits. There's no longer a complaint. you were talking to us, you reported to us that especially the chair, you were saying you were working with traditional leaders and on issues of ukuthwala. And so what happened now? What is happening now in provinces where ukuthwala is rife? Is that project finalized or what? People are no, there's no longer ukuthwala or what? What stopped it? What is happening in those provinces where ukuthwala is high and is happening? What about continuity of that work? The issue of land. You know, I remember in one of the meetings you were reporting about land, that you were busy working with women in Limpopo and so on. What is happening now? Where are all those reports? Every day you are busy with what? There was a bill by Department of Justice. I think it was talking about, I don't know whether polygamous marriages or what so on. What is the contribution there? When I was checking your report now on the bills and the submissions on bills, I don't see nothing. You're not reporting anything. Submissions on still on strategic objective one. Yeah. Submissions on new and proposed legislation. 15 submissions on new and proposed legislation based on the project plan. Four submissions on new and proposed legislation based on project plan. Which submissions were completed or drafted by CGE? In quarter two. Which one? In quarter one, there was outstanding bill submissions and will be completed in quarter two, given that they all, yeah. And you were supposed to have drafted six. What have you done? We want to focus on your performance now. I have spoken on the recording of cases. I have seen the report of one case of Makwaile, the one of Northern Cape. I got that report. And human resource quota one, there were vacancies that you advertised, and I think as the portfolio committee, we said you advertise positions of managers, if I'm not mistaken. And then I think what we have done, what we said, what we resolved in that meeting, we said you must wait for the new CEO. So so that she must know exactly what's happening, what is required, what posts have you advertised, so that she can form part of those processes. How do you advertise posts when a person is just in process of coming in? Somebody was telling me, I'm not sure. You see, this one is like a rumor, because if you haven't reported formally, I can't take it that is serious. But I will ask you, because sometimes when we don't ask you things, we see things in papers, like what we saw over the weekend, where there's an article talking about a chief director who appointed his wife in the Department of Women. So with yourselves, is it true that the former acting CEO, the former acting CEO have resigned in your institution, or it's not true? Like 13 legal costs pending. Investigation is slide 13. You are talking about legal costs and pending investigation, and there is 1 million that you are going to spend. You are spending 1 million. What is it for? I'm not sure, CFO, whether this on slide 13. You have seen this, and maybe you need to clarify this one. With the work that is done by commissioners, you are attending events. How do those events translate to what you're doing in CGE, or what impact do they have? When you attend a webinar, we are busy attending webinars, but exactly what impact or influence do those webinars have in CGE? Because we want to understand this, honorable members. I think I think I've spoken to cases that are reported to CGE and are not concluded. Most of your cases, I don't see, for me, I've been trying to understand whether you conclude cases or you do what. Because even the way you have written in your report, that's why we're saying your report lacks detail. I now hand over to honorable members. Can I get hands, honorable members? Honorable Sonyana, honorable Masiko, honorable Ngobo, honorable Mkweba,
honorable Sengwa,
I'll mute my audio. I'll plus it. Mute.
What's that now? Honorable Sonyana, honorable Masiko, honorable Ngobo, honorable Mukweba, and honorable Mamsengwa, in that order.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chair, we firstly would like to welcome the report, and also would like to welcome the new CEO, Ms. Jamila Robertson. And then to Ms. Robinson, I want to put it to you that there will never be transformation without justice. And with that said, can the commission give us a full report on the issue of forced sterilization of women living with HIV and AIDS, in South Africa, which was released on the 24th of February 2020. We'd like to understand since then how many doctors have been arrested and their medical license withdrawn, and also how much compensation have been given to victims of forced sterilization. Chairperson, on the issue of targets, you know, all targets which are set by the CDE must be met, because if you don't meet those targets, then you are not delivering, you are not giving the proper delivery. And then to the CFO, I have a couple of questions for the CFO. CFO, I want to understand that you spoke about the 5.5 million, which you said was for it was underspending for PPEs not delivered due to COVID-19 regulations. What I want to understand is that 5.5 million of underspending on PPEs, was it just for the PPEs, or are there any other reasons that have led to the 5.5 million underspending? And then on slide 10, Chair, again to the CFO, he spoke about 45 million which was remaining. And I want to get an understanding, does this 45 million which is remaining, including the 5.5 million of underspending that we have had from quarter two? And then again, on slide 11, they spoke about that they've made some savings because of the positions that were not filled. So I want to understand from the commission, these positions that were not filled, what impact did they have on the functioning of this DE? And then on slide 11, on the issue of expenditure, on the legal fees, okay, I really need an understanding on the legal fees. Maybe they can elaborate more, because my understanding, I thought they had in-house legal personnel. So can we be clarified these legal fees exactly are for what? And then on slide 13, Chair, on education and training, I see that also because of COVID-19, education and training, there's been a lack of education and training. And my question to them is, since COVID-19 is going to be with us for a very long time, what new methods are they coming up with to make sure that the issue of education and training continues? Because we cannot continue saying because of COVID-19, education and training has to be put on hold. They must tell us now, moving forward, what other new mechanism are they going to put in place to make sure that education and training continues? And then, Chair, on slide 17, you know, they spoke about a contract that was an irresponsible personnel within the department of 125,000, if I'm not mistaken. And then they said that the disciplinary hearings are going to take place and all of that. Chair, we are proposing that person who have done that must be expelled with immediate effect, and that 125 must be collected from their pension money. Because this thing of just always chasing people, but we never take back our money, that man or woman must bring back the money, Chair. And then lastly, Chairperson, on slide 18, it's just for my interest. I want to understand on the fleet management, as the CFO have presented to us, that they have brought new vehicles. I want to understand, firstly, what happened to the old vehicles? How did they dispose of those vehicles? What method was used by them to dispose the old vehicles? And again, did those vehicles reach their full lifespan? Is that the reason why they were replaced or a new fleet was bought? Or were they adding on the existing fleet? So I just need clarity on that one. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Though your mic is on mute, I think that you've given me the platform.
Yeah, okay, so thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and greetings once again to yourself, honorable members, as well as the commissioner. I think the mic of Commissioner Nomasondo is on. Nomasondo is on and it's disturbing.
Hi, team, may you please mute Commissioner Mazibuko?
Thank you, Chair. I think let me firstly join in welcoming the report and also the new CEO for CGE. We have long awaited for the opportunity to get some fresh blood infused into the organization. We are looking forward as a portfolio committee to working well with the CEO. And CEO, we wish you best in your term of office as the administrative head of the organization. Firstly, Chair, I think you raised an important issue on the Tanya's submission of performance information or reports as guided by the National Treasury Regulation 5.3. It's also important to us as a portfolio committee to ensure that when we are inviting the CGE to come and report, they do so on time, because for us, the issue of performance monitoring is quite important, Honorable Chairperson, so that we're able to put the corrective action on time before things, you know, escalate and get out of hand. So we are pleading with the Commission to adhere to the timeline the person has set. When the portfolio committee is inviting them, they should ensure that their work is done on time so that they're able to deliver as required by the treasury regulation. So what happened last week, Chairperson, I think as a portfolio committee, we must call it out. It shouldn't happen again. Everything must be done on time so that we're able ourselves to ensure that our work is on track and we're not delayed in ensuring that we perform our duties of monitoring and playing oversight over the organization. The second issue, Chairperson, it's a follow-up on quarter one resolutions that we had taken. We had requested for a written report from the Commission, of which they had submitted. But one would like to know in terms of the progress that has taken place, specifically on the issue of forced sterilization. Chairperson, you have raised it. One would like to know what the progress is, emanating obviously from what the report had responded to or in terms of the resolutions. One such is the issue on the progress of the meeting with the Department of Health that was requested, and also what is happening in relation to the national rollout of the program. That's the first one. We also
to add on that one. You know, when one is reading your report, that report was focusing, I think, if I'm not mistaken, in one province, which was KZN.
Yes.
And one is interested in understanding maybe when you were doing your research, that was your research focusing on KZN only, or you were focusing on all provinces? Okay, you can continue, Honorable Matiko.
Yes, Chair, I think that one is important. It also speaks to the national footprint of the actual view on in terms of the forced sterilization, because one would believe that it's not only a case which is unique to the province of KZN. The second issue that we had discussed in detail, Chair, in the last meeting on quarter one was the issue of the monitoring and evaluation tool. One would like to also get an update on the tool as discussed in the last meeting. And the last one is the engagements with the South African Human Rights Commission on issues relating to service delivery. We raised it in the last meeting and one would like to get a bit of progress on that. The reason why I'm raising these issues, Chase, because sometimes you know, it feels like when we raise issues for the first quarter, and then some of those issues are not really answered to in detail. When we move to the second quarter, we forget about issues that we had raised in the first quarter. But it's important because most of these issues would be recurring. We don't want to sound like broken records, Chair, but it's important that the issues that we raise are issues that, you know, are answered to in every meeting that we are sitting to. Even if there's progress, we request that we be brought on board in relation to the progress that has been made on the matters of concern that the portfolio committee raises during meetings.
In fact, that will M&E to a framework if it's not finalized. How is CGE going to monitor other treaties, treaty compliance of SDGs, CEDAW, SADC protocols, etc., if that M&E framework tool is not finalized? How does it mean CGE is not doing anything in relation to that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think, Chair, relating to that, in terms of the quarter two report under the strategic objective four, it did note that the M&E plan, which was said to be drafted, is not achieved when it's reported as not achieved. But one would recall that in the previous meetings, it was reported that the committee that Commissioner Muleko had developed an M&E tool framework, yet the target is still appearing as not achieved. So one would like to know what really is happening there and why is it reported as such. But in terms of the strategic objective two, Chair, one must firstly commend the fact that all the 8 targets have been met. The targets that were set, all of them have been met. But in terms of the gender mainstreaming booklet, Chair, one would like to know, when will this gender mainstreaming booklet, as well as the human trafficking information sheet, be finalized? The deadlines for that, or when should we expect to receive such, and how will these be popularized to the general public and communities? The second question relating to the strategic objective.
But, remember, Honorable Masigo, when coming to that one, I think what they reported in quarter one is that they assessed a budgeting of 2 municipalities, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
They can remind us, because it's something that immediately when we are raising that thing of that issue of gender mainstreaming and budgeting, it just clicked in my mind that I think in first quarter they reported assessing 2 municipalities, if I'm not mistaken. Mm. So what happened in quarter two?
Yeah, quarter two, Chair, they reported that there were 9 gender mainstreaming interventions. And I think the committee must be brought on board as to where were these 9 gender mainstreaming interventions conducted and what were the outcomes of those gender mainstreaming interventions. In terms of the in strategic objective 4, Chair, the policy regulates or policy to regulate the interface between commissioners and staff. The target there also is not met, is reported as not met. Now, one would like to link it, Chair, with what we've always been raising in relation to what the work of commissioners are, especially the full-time commissioners, and still we have targets that have not been met. So one would like to know, in relation to the policy that is set to regulate the interface between commissioners and staff, why were commissioners not able to draft this policy during the second quarter? That's the first one. And the second issue that is linked to that question is, who were the commissioners which were assigned to undertake this task of ensuring that there's an existence in the policy to regulate? Chairperson, in terms of HR, one would like to know what the current vacancy rate is. And maybe I'll stop there, Chairperson. I do have specific questions to the report that we received on Commissioner's work, but maybe I'd request that I come back later to be specific to the individual Commissioners. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disabilities, they have reported in our portfolio committee that Cabinet has approved a gender responsive budgeting framework. And what we want to hear from CGE is that what have you done? Have you monitored or assessed what Department of Women is doing? And the next honorable member is Honorable, I think Ngobo, if I'm not mistaken.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members, as well as commissioners from CGE, and we welcome the new CEO. Chairperson, my first question is on strategic objective 2 regarding gender mainstreaming booklet. I see that the booklet has been finalized, so I just want to know if it has been distributed yet. If it has not, when will it be distributed? I also want to check with the CGE if the material will be available in all languages and if it will also be disability friendly. I would also like to find out from the CGE how many pending investigations is the CGE currently dealing with, except the one that involves the contracts which had an exception. Also on slide 13, I noted that there is legal cost on pending investigations amounting to 1 million rand. So I just want to find out, what does the 1 million rand entail for legal cost on pending investigation? The next question would be to Director to Commissioner Botha, and I just want to find out what were the outcomes of the following initiatives. COSATU's main dialogue, sexual harassment in the workplace and GPV, the Vodacom's men's dialogue, the Progressive Forum dialogue on GPV and femicide, and Africa Tikuma dialogue on gender-based violence. And also on HR, just to check what is the current vacancy rate in the CGE and what is the status of vacancies at present in the CGE. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ngobo. Honorable Mkweba.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good morning to honorable members and the CGE. Firstly, Chair, let me welcome the report and also welcome the new CEO. To the CGE, Chair, I've got few questions, if not clarities. One is on the objective number one. I think in terms of their targets and their actual performance as per their presentation, they then attached or that there are submissions on new and proposed legislation, which is there are 5 submissions that have been drafted. Then, Chair, my question is to the CGE is that which submissions were completed and drafted? And I understand that they've also provided information on submissions in quarter 1 and not in quarter 2. Then the CGE also indicated that in quarter 1, that there are outstanding bills. Is there any outstanding bills or submissions that have not been completed? And not sure if the 3 bills that are currently, that we are currently processing are part of the bills that are talking about in question, in quarter 2. And then the second one is, my question is on the, where they will speak about information that has been obtained from entities that has been identified as per the project plan and information. Which are these entities? And what has the analysis of the implementation of the findings and recommendations revealed, and have these entities implemented the information. And also, Chair, my question is on the, I think it's a strategic objective two. They then indicated of 9 strategic engagements with like-minded organizations to promote gender equality that has taken place. Which like-minded organization has the CGE engaged with? And what are the measures and mechanisms that have been discussed or agreed to promoting gender equality? And the last question just before is on the presentation by the CFO. I understand that they spoke about supply chain management and especially the contract management. They're saying an investigation is underway to address an exception noted in the contract. And then there are internal DC processes undertaken. When will this be concluded? And when will this be presented to the committee? And lastly, Chair, is on the ICT and knowledge management plan. I understand that in terms of their presentation, they indicate that a knowledge management consultant has been appointed and work has been started and in the process of finalizing the project plan. Given that the ICT has been a long-standing concern by this committee, is this target on track? And when will it be achieved in the 2020-21 financial year? And it will only be finalized during quarter two or during quarter three now. So those are my questions, Chair, to the CGE. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mkwepa. The next submission of your report is expected on the 31st January and for third quarter. For fourth quarter is 30 April. So you have plenty time to prepare for these reports and the work that you need to do. And I think the extension was for the last time. You are not going to get any extension anymore. So that's why I'm giving you the date that you are expected to submit your reports. Yeah, Honorable Maluleka, I'm not sure because I don't see your hand. Okay, over to you, Chairperson and Deputy Chair. Ah, sorry, Mam Tengwa, sorry, ngiyaxolisa kakhulu.
You are muted.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Unmute your microphone or press and hold the space key.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me greet you, Chairperson, and all honorable members, and welcome the new CEO. Thank you for the achievement of appointing the CEO. Secondly, let me welcome the report that CEG have given to us. Although one would not satisfied because there are some gaps in this report, but nevertheless, thank you for that. I have questions, if not clarity. One.
Alert Teleswing, Weba ANC has joined the meeting.
One question for the CFO. I heard him talking about bursaries, training and development who are. And my question is that, who are the beneficiaries of this program who get bursaries in development? to the other members is covered me. Two, when we talk about Women's Month, and then we talk about leadership, where you are going to train people for leadership, one will speak, will worry that if all the people are getting this program of being leaders, who are going to lead, to be led by these people? And where is the targeted place to get these people who are going to train as leaders? Lastly, it is in connection with the monitoring. Even the time we're worried about the monitoring because there is no exactly tool that is designed for this monitoring. Now, even today, one would say, how do you measure this monitoring? And how do you say you have achieved, whereas all the 9 provinces you did not reach the 9 provinces, but you say you have achieved in doing this, but you did not touch all the provinces, because in order to achieve, there are 9 provinces in this country, in South Africa. If you touch 5 provinces, that is not achieved. I concur with the chairperson where she said your report did not have details. You talk about 79% submission cases. How many cases in an actual numbers? I concur with the chairperson who wants the details and number of that percentage, not 79%. Thank you, chairperson.
You are on mute, Chairperson.
Hey, I'm aging, thank you, Babu Ngobo. I'm saying, I don't know whether Honorable Sonyane, she did raise that question of why did CGE not conducted a stakeholder engagement on the findings and recommendation of CEDAW. A report that was produced in the previous financial year. I'm not sure whether Honorable Sonyan did ask that question, or maybe I didn't hear. But it's fine. Let's go straight to the CGE. Over to you, Chair and Deputy Chair.
Chairperson and honorable members, thank you very much for the engagement on the reports tabled before you this morning. Chairperson, I just want to start by appreciating the shared dates for submission of the report. I think this will actually make our work very easy, Chair, and I must also just indicate that the CGE has an annual plan or an annual schedule of meetings, which obviously did not tally with the National Treasury Regulations, Chair. So I think moving forward, we have taken a decision, Chairperson, as the Commission, that we will go back and revise our plan or our schedule of meetings, and we will align it with the National Treasury Regulations, Chairperson, and we will try as much as we can to move back some of the meetings that we scheduled for next year and quarter three as well as quarter four. So thank you very much, Chair. And I want to assure you that this is not going to happen. We have the dates now. We don't have an excuse. So we will make sure that we work in accordance to the dates that have been shared with us this morning. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Okay.
I will just attempt to respond to very few questions and then hand over to Deputy Chair. Chairperson, on the bills, and again, I know that this is also something that one will have to just sit down with the new CEO and go through, you know, the bills that have been submitted and perhaps a progress in terms of where things are at the moment. Chair, I just want to quickly single out very few bills that we looked at. Amendment bill. The second one is the prescription in civil and criminal matters. The third one is the land reform and rural development upgrading of land tenure bill. The next one is the customary initiation bill and the social assistance bill. Chair, allow me just to talk to just one bill and give an example in terms of why we went to Limpopo and came back, and as such, there was no report. Chair, I must just say that in terms of our interventions and consultations in Limpopo, we were consulting because we wanted to come back and make a better informed bill, a submission to the bill that was looking at the issues of access to land. So we used Limpopo, one of the areas in Limpopo where we sent two commissioners in the previous other quarters to actually go to Limpopo so that when we make a submission to the bill, it's informed by the work and the consultations that have happened to Limpopo and the community up there. And because we had a history of a complaint that came out of that particular area of the country. So the submission to the Portfolio Committee Justice was actually informed by the consultations that we made in Limpopo. So basically, in terms of the submission, CGE submitted on the fact that there was a need for an administrative appeals process that was going to look at the fact they had to just make sure that they access, and they don't only access, but they own land. I think that's what we found out when we came out of that community and what was submitted in the bill. And our submission was also speaking to issues of access to civil courts, Chair, once an internal appeals process has been concluded. Because one of the things that we found out from the Limpopo was that a lot of women would actually lose cases and lose the land that initially belonged to them because first and foremost, I think court processes were not fully known and they did not know how to defend themselves and even to appeal once a case has been lost, Chairperson. I think that actually just gives an example of the reason why we went into consultations in particular places, but not coming out with a report, but coming out with a submission or an information that gets into a submission of a particular bill. Chair, I think in terms of the reporting commissioners who attend events, in the template that we are currently using, we will make sure that we expand on that template, Chair, just to make sure that our interventions and our attendance to meetings, our attendance to webinars, our attendance to events are quite concrete in terms of giving you a detailed information, Chair. I think commissioners do submit performance reports with quite a detailed information. So it's just a matter of expanding and make sure that our template speaks to the issues of impact and the influence that we make once we submit to the portfolio committee in terms of our role that we play in those webinars and the role that we play when we attend instead. The policy to regulate the interface between commissioners and staff, Chair, is nothing other than the commissioner's handbook. I know that the CEO was requested to share the handbook, and I think earlier she did indicate that she did try to transmit the handbook, and however, the handbook was too big to be transmitted. I want to also indicate, Chair, that the revised handbook, Chair, was something that has not gone through the plenary for the final approval. And once we have approved that final draft of the revised handbook, this is something that we will be able to share even in between with the Honorable Chair and the Honorable Committee members. But I just want to say that in terms of process, Honorable Members, there was quite a deliberate and a very, a process that was looking at revising the handbook during the second quarter of 2020-2021 by a group of commissioners that worked very hard to revise the handbook. And I must also say that that process is almost finished there. I think we are now towards the process of just cleaning up, numbering it well, just putting it through the last leg of the committees that will recommend to plenary that it gets approved. But I think in terms of process, Chair, we have made quite a lot of strides and in terms of achieving this particular intervention of approving a handbook that will be used as an internal policy that will regulate internal. Thank you very much. I just want to pause here and hand over to the Deputy Chair as well. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's okay. It's a pity that I was not informed that we haven't finalized it. So,
Honorable members, I think we've lost the chairperson. Okay. Chair, can we proceed then and get the other responses?
Thank you. Thanks, Honorable Masuko. The chairperson just asked me to come in. I will come in and then allow for the CEO as well and the CFO to touch on some of the areas where the chairperson and myself have been concerned. Thanks, Honorable Masuko. Is it okay if I continue?
Yes, you may proceed, Deputy Chair.
Thanks so much. I think the first point made was on the year plan. I think the chairperson has covered that. We have to, I think, internally just review our own meeting after the quarter and how timely we submit our report to the committee, and we have to align to that. And I think we just have to reshuffle that. I think we've already had internal engagements in this regard, and I think we take note of the importance of meeting the Treasury regulations. I think a point was made that we are a government department. I think we just need to highlight that CGE remains Chapter 9, albeit it has to comply to the relevant prescripts of the National Treasury. So let's just keep that in mind in the discussion. I think what we must therefore agree, I think the members have raised in this meeting, also in the previous meeting, the issue of the monitoring framework. What I would ask that we do, colleagues, and not take the committee through this process here, we will submit the monitoring tool to the committee. CEO, just note that. Marissa, please note that. Let us submit the monitoring tool because this question keeps coming up. And I think that the portfolio committee needs to be allayed as to what exactly is the monitoring tool. And then we also submit to them the content of the monitoring tool, i.e. the departments, the reports, and the oversight that we have then started to do in respect to that. I think it's very important. And then going forward, so that the committee is appraised with the detail, let us then give them the detail they request going forward as well, so that they don't have to come and ask us every time that we are not clear on this tool. I think this came up in the last meeting, even the prior meetings, colleagues, and it is there in-house. So can we make sure that we differentiate the two? Colleagues, I just want to appraise the committee. There is a monitoring tool for us to oversee the research reports, the legal reports that we have done historically and current, to see what is the recommendations that we have made that have been implemented, and also what of the recommendations have not been implemented so that we can further those. This is important for us so that we can see and exactly what the portfolio committee is asking us, what is the relevance of the work we do and how does it influence departments, stakeholders, and the people that we actually do reports on. So I think we must therefore, if the committee would allow us to submit that to you in detail, because it is in an Excel spreadsheet format, it was reported to the commission for the first quarter and we can avail that. The second that the committee has made comments on is on the monitoring and evaluation tool, which is an internal tool for us internally. We must just differentiate the two. The committee in the last meeting made a comment that they don't want us to use consultants, and we engage in this internally. What was decided is because there are institutions we can partner with, we therefore must implement this because it remains in our APP and management must make sure that it is done. And what we therefore said, to save costs and money, let us partner with the relevant institutions. So the chairperson rightfully asked, what are the timeframes? We have put timeframes that at the end of this quarter that must be finalized, i.e. by December, close of December, just to answer that question. The honorable chairperson also raise the issue of declaration. I think the chairperson can answer this. It's her specific function. I cannot answer on that one. And then also on the issue of the legal issues raised, I think we will then await for that. I think the comment on the clarity in the reports and the clarity on the bills. The bills that the CGE has reported on in this quarter, I just want to quickly reiterate the lack of clarity we must resolve, I think, CEO. Let's make sure that we are clear on the bills so that we make sure that the committee is appraised. I do want to apologize if in our report the bills were not clear. The bills on the Judicial Matters Amendment Bill, the prescription in civil and criminal matters, the land reform and rural development upgrading of land tenure rights bill, the social assistance bill, and the customary initiation bill. Apologies that we didn't submit in detail the names of those bills. I think what is also important for the portfolio committee is probably we need to also allay what are the changes that we have proposed and what the outcomes of those changes. And I think perhaps then we must just take the comment that has been made to say, let's improve the way we report so that we can clearly outline what is the impact of the interventions that we will do. I think Chairperson asked as well on the issue of targets 5 in the APP and 7 in the report. I think maybe let's just accept that maybe this is an error and we will rectify it. on the issue of the appointments, Chairperson, if you can assist on that because you didn't answer that one, and on the resignation. The 2 points mentioned on the sterilization bill, can the, maybe Marissa and Jamela, can you give us a sense on the operational interventions on the forced sterilization, because both Honorable Masigo and Honorable Fonyana have raised and we have not answered that one. And I think on the question on the M&E too, I hope I answered you, Honorable Masigo. And I think the issue on the regulating of work between staff and commissioners was answered by the chair. I will stop there and allow also management to just come in to assist in terms of just answering. And let's not also, let's answer also the last honorable members' questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Chairperson. May I check if it's appropriate to proceed after yourself?
Please, we are responding to the line of questions just to provide clarity on some of the questions.
The Chairperson has to respond to the other questions that she did not respond to. The one of the resignation. And the other one of declarations, that one you'll receive a letter, don't worry. We'll even tell you where are your members working. You can respond to this one.
Chairperson, thank you very much for the opportunity. I have just asked the CEO to respond to the question of resignation, Chairperson. I think she is the best. Thank you. So she will respond to that. Thank you very much, Chair. Over to you, CEO.
Yeah, I think the other thing that I forgot, Honorable Chairperson and Deputy Chair, is if you remember in one of the meetings we did ask you about other senior officials' contracts that will be expiring soon, whether you have started working on them. Commissioner Diko, I don't know whether he's here because he's heading that human resource portfolio. So we are hoping that you have already started because we don't want a CEO, because we are here, we are hoping that you've been briefed and you have already started working on those location, on those contracts, that they must be advertised.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, indeed. And you've just actually alluded to what I was going to start with in terms of contracts that are ending. We had this discussion since I had joined the CGE last week with the chairperson and the HR personnel, that as we look at the positions that have been advertised already, we must think ahead on contracts that are coming to an end, and also the recent resignations of our two senior managers. And the resignations are actually for what we usually call greener pastures. So there was no, as far as I know, there was no concern around that. We just had to wish them good luck because they found better opportunities as reported to ourselves. Honorable Chairperson, if you allow me, I just wanted to perhaps also provide a little background. I'm not sure how this will help in relation to some of the questions that have been asked about REACH in terms of some of the activities that we do in provinces. There were questions around whether we are doing this in one or two provinces or all provinces. And Honorable Chairperson, I humbly request you to bear with me because this is not intended to be an excuse, but to also just highlight to the committee that currently we operate with a staff complement of 78, including commissioners. We I'm informed that we had 20 positions that are vacant. 8 of the vacancies were frozen as part of budget reprioritization, and 9 were recently advertised. I had a meeting with the chairperson, our chairperson, Matebula, and the HR manager yesterday to work out the roadmap in terms of how we take this forward. But to assure the committee, suffice to say that we have committed that before we close for December, all the we should have interviewed the 9 positions that were already advertised, and we should have advertised the positions that have resignations, and then prepare, because we need to communicate. We can't advertise before the contract is actually expired, but prepare to advertise for those contracts that are ending soon. So we really on that. I can commit and promise that we are on that. Where I will still be advised perhaps internally is on the frozen positions and the 20 vacant positions, because from the thin skeleton in which we operate, we can't afford to have one vacant position. So we will work together, we'll be advised. If we have to motivate from Treasury, that is what we will do, because we need to fill all these vacancies. Honorable Chairperson, that's what I wanted to respond to, because for me, as someone who's walking in, I was actually shocked that this is what is happening. But I will ask Marissa, I think she's with us in the meeting, to respond to the question around the project on forced sterilization. What I know of now is that there's a pending meeting with the Department of Health and other stakeholders, but I don't want to venture into detail because I still need to understand the whole issue before I can have an opinion in terms of giving feedback to the committee. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Yeah, I think the other thing, the CFO, when he was presenting, he did mention issues of leaves, and then people, you know, when I was still a public servant, we used to sell our leave days to the department so that it can be reimbursed, you know, and sometimes public servants, what they do, they claim for days and saying they were not on leave, whereas they've already started giving themselves leave. So it's something that is in the pipeline. I haven't discussed it with the portfolio committee members, but I'm going to discuss it with the portfolio committee members, and we are going to come up with the recommendations, because we'll be expecting your audit committee to come and give us a report in that regard. Thank you very much, CEO. Marissa, you can come through. Come in.
Thank you, Honorable. Thank you, CEO. Honorable Chairperson, just as a brief update with regards to the forced sterilization. We did receive responses from the Department of Health after we inquired to the implementation of the recommendations of the report. The department did provide us with information which was not sufficient for us to work with. We have subsequently corresponded further with them, and as the CEO has rightfully said, there's a meeting scheduled this Wednesday with the department, with the DG specifically, where we will sit and work further in terms of the implementation of the recommendations and the new complaints that we've received. Thank you, Chair.
I thought, Marissa, you were going to respond also to the non-achievement of certain targets, because at least you were the acting CEO and you were part of the portfolio committee when you were reporting for quarter one. Can you also respond to that?
Okay, Chair, we will go through that. Chair, if I look at the tables, Just to give you an indication, first off, the discrepancy that you've raised with the targets, where we work out the percentages vis-a-vis what was reported. When we work out the target, if there is no specific activity for the quarter, that activity is not counted when calculating the targets. But going forward, we will include same so that there's no confusion going forward and that we're all on the same page with that. Chair, in terms of the non-compliance with the targets, the first one is the COVID or the CEDAW report, where we had to share our findings of the previous financial year. That stakeholder engagement did not take place in quarter two. However, it is scheduled to take place in quarter three. So it is happening before the end of December so that we can catch up with that. Chairperson, just to also indicate that for the targets that have not been met in quarter one, we did rectify that in quarter two. So there's now standing targets for quarter one. Chair, I'm just going through to see the other specific ones. I think the Deputy Chair has dealt with the monitoring and evaluation, and the Chairperson has dealt with the Commissioner's Handbook, which is the policy document. And Chair, then the ICT knowledge management strategy has also been addressed. The consultants are currently busy finalizing the project plan. They have had engagements with all departments. And the plan will now be finalized during the third quarter. So by end of December, that target will also have been met. Thank you, Chair.
CFO? Whilst waiting for the CFO, Honorable Moliko, Honorable Clobatla, Ntuli Clobatla, and Commissioner, Deputy Chair, Commissioner Ntuli Clobatla, Commissioner Sidiko Rakolote, and the Chair. You know, it sounds very strange that you guys, you've got expertise in administration. And, you know, when we look at you not finalizing your M&E and taking so long, you took how long for you to finalize the M&E framework? You are specialist, most. Why are you not using your own capabilities and abilities in this and in helping this institution? Why? Why did you wanted to outsource those services when you have those expertise? You know, I went back to check the records when we were doing the interviews. And I checked your CVs again. And I was asking myself, what is going on in that institution? You are responsible for governance issues. But most of these things, they are happening under your watch. You know, one is very disappointed about these kind of things. I'm telling you, we are very much disappointed. Issues of declarations of commissioners, we're not supposed to be asking you. It's something that you should have done it. You know it. And you know how important it is. CFO, you can come in. CFO, ubekise kanjani i-camera yakho? Sibona ama-curtain wena sikuboni. Siyakubona ngoku. Awuzwakali, CFO, unmute yourself. Is unmute. Khuluma ke. Hayi, awukwazi unmute. Hayi, akuzwa.
CFO, try to put your volume up or something. Your volume seems to be off on your laptop. Try to increase your volume on your settings. We can't hear you. I think you're CEO's computer. We can't hear you.
Yeah, when I learned to get into the ICT, khona manje nawe uyakushayashaya.
It's all about the interference. We share the space and then our computers are interfering.
Yeah? Marisa, may you please help him? Marisa.
I'm here, Chairperson. I'm going to swap my computer for you.
Okay, sir.
We have a problem with our computer.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Responding to the to deal with the 5.5 million rand underspending, whether it was a part of the remaining available 45 million for that will be spent in the last 6 months of the financial year. The answer to that, yes. We have so far into the financial year spent 35 million from the allocation of 80 million. And we will be having 45 million to deal with all the performance targets that still needs to be done, the outstanding ones, including even targets that have been planned for quarter 3 and 4. So it will be spent as part of that. Chair, the question that also arose regarding the amount that I indicated there, the 1 million rand, it's a projected amount. There are activities that the commission is engaged with in. To deal with investigation, one of the necessary investigation that needs to be done and be done by independent outsiders, as we are also advised by the audit committee, was to deal with a whistleblowing report that was received via our own spill the bins processes. And then we have appointed as an institution outside service providers, law firms who are on the CGE panel to do an independent investigation basically to verify the veracity or existence of the issues that have been alleged by the whistleblower. And additionally, I think the chairperson of the commission can also speak and deputy chair can speak to the needs for which we will be incurring legal expenses, the needs which emanate from governance side to do with legal opinions on the various other governance-related issues that the Commission was working on during this period. So we have just projected. Those projects are still underway. And then we have just given a projection to say that the three specific projects
we anticipate that the combined expenditure can come up to R1 million. We have not received all the bills. The figures that are there is just a projection, effectively. So I will leave the deputy chair to talk to the substance of those particular assignments. When it comes to what we have projected for education and training, also linking to the bursaries, this is basically education and training for the CGE staff members. We ordinarily, as an institution, we support as well the national skills plan and strategy, ensuring that there's continuous training and development of staff. But as well, I mean, we are doing that to achieve our own internal objective to have a well-trained, developed, skilled human resources personnel. So we had a plan, WSP, Workplace Skills Plan, which we plan to execute effective from the beginning of the financial year. But for COVID, for lockdown, the training was delayed. So we anticipate we still need to train and provide bursaries in terms of our own bursary policy to staff members. So the figures that are indicated there, it's the planned expenditure in relation to that particular objective. And to also answer, use that opportunity to answer the question as to who the beneficiaries are of this training and development and bursaries. The beneficiaries are the CG internal staff members. We are not providing, we don't have the resources to provide bursaries to beneficiaries outside of the CGE. The comments as well relating to contracts for which we have been sued for R125,000. We basically accept the comments that we've got to be stringent.
CFO, if you may just clarify us, what kind of investigations are you talking about?
Chair, the investigation basically are investigation as part of the fair procedure that is required in terms of LRA. It will be an internal
Labor Relations Act.
I'm mentioning Labor Relations Act in a sense that being engaged in a disciplinary process would require, you know, strict procedures, strict fairness of procedures. So without we basically soliciting information. We have already commenced, I mean, to inform the committee is to say that we have already commenced in soliciting information, getting representation from the involved staff members. So they've made the written representations, and an investigation basically will be an investigation as part of a disciplinary process. Fact finding before a determination is finally made. So
How many cases are you investigating?
It's only one case involving, at this point in time, four officials that there could be linked, there could have a nexus to the mishappening. So we have solicited the representation by them, and then what needs to happen is that the process must unfold in terms of our own defined procedures in the disciplinary process. There've got to be a hearing, there've got to be hearing of the other side, there've got to be observation of natural justice. And yes, indeed, from the comment, consequence management under the circumstances requires stringent exercise stringent action on the part of management. So we will be implementing the policy as provided. We will ensure that this being a reprehensible misconduct is meted with proper sanctions. So we are taking the comment from the honorable member that stringent interventions and measures will have to be the ultimate outcome from this process. And in terms of timelines, this is the process that there will be driven from the office of the CEO. And I would say, from looking into the facts, information that is necessary for dealing with this, it's internal information. It's all about, it's possible to have not more than 30 days turnaround in dealing with this issue. But it will be a disciplinary process which will involve staff participation. The involved staff will be participating as equal parties, basically, during the disciplinary proceedings. They'll be given fair chance to state their case, but
in our language, we say, in fact, you're confusing us, because even with your cases or investigations, we are not clear. What are you talking about? Why is it a secret that you can't disclose what kind of cases are you having?
Chair, the case will be a case of financial misconduct. What was expected of staff members was for them to execute their day-to-day responsibilities on contract management, to maintain a contract register and then track on the contract register action points. Critical dates like the expiry date.
Can you write that case in full for us? Because if my memory serves me well, I think there was a question from Honorable Sonyane where she was even saying maybe some monies must be taken from their pension funds. And we want to know exactly what cases are those, and what should be the right recommendation, so that we are sure what are we why are we recommending that monies must be taken from their pension fund, because for now, if we don't have a full detailed report, we won't be able to do justice in making a recommendation. We want to know exactly what is that case entails, so that when we discuss as honorable members, we have full details on it.
Chair, I could do that in summary very quickly.
Yeah.
Chair, the case involves a contract in relation to a service provider for our wide area network. We had procured the original contract through competitive means, not offending the supply chain management procurement rules. It was very regular. So what has happened is that the contract was extended, and the extension of the contract required it was a brief extension, and required of the officials to give notice of cancellation, of termination of the contract. And the officials did not do so. And because the nature of the contract is a contract of rental, we were renting the services. And then during the period when a new contract came into being, we substituted the original extended contract with a new service provider without canceling or giving the cancellation notice to the previous service provider. So this parallel overlapping period of 3 months, the previous service provider is claiming to be a right to be paid for that particular period. And because it's a lease rental agreement, there is no legal basis, no defense on the part of the CGE to say we did not use your services. We didn't use the services, but we are contracted. It's like renting a house, not staying in the house. When the contract is still valid and not cancelled, the lessor has a right to claim. So in this particular case, the previous service provider is claiming for the 3 months. And our assessment is that we will have to pay. We don't have any basis, any legal defense. And the nature of this expenditure, if the CGE pays without claiming or recovering, if the CGE carries the expense, that will be fruitless and wasteful expenditure because we did not receive any consideration. We didn't receive any value for the money that is due and payable by the CGE on the basis of the contract. So the whole understanding is that having gone through the disciplinary hearing processes, those who are found liable and responsible will also have to carry the financial liability, and then we will make it should occur that the fruitless and wasteful expenditure is recovered from them directly. And I'm not at this point in time, Chair, I wouldn't effectively want to preempt, you know, what other consequences or penalties are going to be. But that is what the case is all about. And then we are hoping that we are not going to burden the CGE in carrying, or even the public funds to be carrying a fruitless expenditure that could have been avoided. Those who are responsible, and there's a legal basis to hold them financially liable, we will exercise that particular right on behalf of the institution.
I see Honorable Masigo's hand is up. I don't know whether it's still on the same matter. Honorable Masigo.
Chairperson, it's the first hand that I had up when we were discussing. I didn't lower it.
Okay. All right. You can continue, CEO. CFO.
Thank you, Chair. On fleet management, indeed, we purchased new vehicles to replace the old ones. The old vehicles that have been replaced were originally purchased in 2006. So they had high mileage. They were no longer reliable. They were costly to maintain. So we were replacing them. We were not expanding on the fleet. We were replacing the old fleet. And the old fleet was disposed of through competitive measures. We've got a CGE internal disposal policy and a policy which is also aligned to National Treasury regulations. According to the policy, disposals had to be on competitive basis, so through auctioning. So we auctioned them. We basically got quotations from the outside market, dealerships, various dealerships, multiple quotations, minimum of 3 per location where the vehicle was. And then from the quotations, we could determine what the reserve price should be. And then we auction them internally to CGE staff members through an open auction. And that auction excluded, our auction had rules. And then one of the key rules were to exclude those who are in decision-making positions, such as middle management and all senior managers were excluded. And then the remaining general staff were allowed to participate in an auction. And then we were selling basically to the highest bidder amongst the eligible staff members. So they've been disposed as such. We have received the proceeds accordingly. That's the feedback with regards to that. Chair, the issue, a specific question about our vacancy rate. Calculating our vacancy rate, I've just calculated it on the basis of our organogram before positions were frozen. Our vacancy rate stands at 11%, Chair. 11%.
Have and you answered all the questions regarding financials? I think Honorable Sonyana had a few questions on financials. Honorable Sonyana, are your questions being answered?
No, Chairperson. Yes, your people. Mm-mm. No, my questions were not answered, Chairperson. I had a question about the fleet, on the fleet management, which is on slide 18, which I've asked, the fleet which were brought, the new fleet, how did they dispose of the old vehicles, which was one. Secondly, was that, are they adding to the original fleet, which is there, or are they have the fleet reach its lifespan? That is why they were buying new fleet. That was the question I had there. And again,
that one, I think that one, he just responded to that one now. That they have, he said they've checked that their lifespan according to the regulations from that they have, and also in disposing the cars. There are regulations from National Treasury that they've used on how they must do it. I think that on that one, he responded.
And again, sir, my question that I asked about the 5.5 million, he answered the second part of it, which was, yes, 5.5 million is part of the 45, which is now going to be used for the next 6 months. But my question was that the understanding, he mentioned on it that it was for the PPEs. And then my question to that was that, was it only just for PPEs or were there other reasons? Is the 5.5 million on PPEs only or other reasons?
Okay. You can respond on the CFO.
Thank you, Chair. The 5.5, Chair, I just want to refer to a specific slide where we are indicating it's slide number 13, Chair, and honorable members. On slide number 13, on the right-hand side of the slide, we are making an analysis of the main sources of underspending. The 5.5 comes from underspending on compensation of employees, 2.5 million. Advertising and publication, 457,000. Office cleaning and other maintenance, which includes what we made provision for PPE and related, 965,000 unspent so far. Software subscriptions, 562,000, which has not been spent. Training and development, 550,000. And lastly, what was set aside for venues, workshops, as we are carrying out our mandate through activities such as hearings and the like, we have underspent in the period 439,000, underspent from what we anticipated originally to be spending. So that's basically the breakdown of what has contributed to the 5.5 million. So it's not only PPE, but it's PPE related and including this other expenditure line items, Chair.
Okay. Yeah, you are covered, Honorable Sojane, if there's no other.
No, apologies, Chair. There was another question which I asked, and then the CEO tried to answer it, but she answered it partly again on the vacancies that are there. I asked them, the vacancies that were within the department, did they have any impact on the functioning of the CGE? So maybe they must tell, did they have any impact? It was because of those employments not being there, did we have any problems within the organization?
Okay, no, it's fine. Yeah, all right. Okay, you can respond to
Thank you, Chairperson. My audible?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. My apologies, Honorable Member, if I didn't respond clearly. I guess I was attempting to do that when I indicated that we are operating currently on a staff complement of 78. and indicated the vacant positions and so forth, expressing that we can't afford to have one vacant position. In a way, I was trying to indicate that they do have an impact. As per your questions, that how come we're doing something in one or two provinces and not all the other provinces? And I was saying with the skeletal staff complement that we're operating on, we are constrained, and that's the impact this is having on us. Hence, I committed to the chairperson, to the honourable chairperson, that for the 9 advertised, the 2 resignations, and a few contracts that are expiring in the next 3 months, these are our priority, because we have to do as best as we can to fill this position, because even with 200 people nationally, it would still be not enough. But for now, starting where we are, the vacant positions that we have do have an impact. As you can see, we're not reaching all the provinces the way we would like to. Thank you. I hope I have clarified at this stage. Thanks, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you very much, CEO, and thank you, Honorable Shonyana. It's because, you know, as and when they are responding, I'm trying to check my list and what I've written when members are asking questions. Honorable Masiko, I'm sure you're covered.
I'm fully covered, Honorable Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Okay, Babu Ngobo, we are covered because you've raised some of the questions that I raised.
Yes, I'm covered. Thanks, Chairperson.
Honorable Mkweba?
Thanks, Chair. I'm covered.
Mam Tengwa?
Thank you, Chair. I'm covered.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Thank you very much, commissioners. Chairperson and Deputy Chair, commissioners who are present in our meeting. I think, Honorable Chair, there are other questions that we are going to forward to you. And those questions will also make sure that we write them to the Deputy President or the President. Some of the questions we'll be asking them about CGE, and but thank you very much. We'll forward some of the questions that we feel strong that maybe you have answered us partially, and you'll see we have prepared some questions for each and every commissioner. So that one our committee secretary will send to you so that they can be responded to in writing. And thank you very much, honorable members. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, honorable Deputy Chair, and for accepting where we have been done, right? And what you have committed today in this meeting, we'll make follow up on each and everything that you have committed. The only answer that you did not give us is the one that why are you not utilizing your skills, the skills that you have in assisting CGE, especially as people who are responsible for governance issues as commissioners. Maybe it's food for thought, and next time you'll respond to us, why are you not utilizing the skills that you are having? And we are looking forward in getting other work that you have done, you have started doing in quarter 3, and telling your response on how do you monitor compliance in the SDGs and so forth. All those questions are not answered, and we are hopefully thinking that you are going to send us those response in writing. New CEO, we wish you well in this organization. The people of South Africa are looking at forward in seeing you dealing with transformation agenda And thank you very much. The bills that we did not respond to, you must write down and explain in detail on what exactly are you dealing with, so that we must know. I think I saw you, if I'm not mistaken, you were presenting on the three bills of CPV, if I'm not mistaken. I think I saw something of CGE to the Portfolio Committee on Justice. But I was not able to listen to your the whole presentation. But thank you very much, honorable members, for your attendance. The meeting in 1 second will be adjourned. Honorable members, see you on Friday, Nelly Sone.
Tomorrow, Chair, and Friday.
And Friday.
Yeah, Nelly Sone. Not a song, 7 hours, I've been to Manchester. No, it's fine. The meeting is adjourned.